ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, welcome to a Super Bloom podcast. My name is Candace King. I am so thrilled to jump right into today's episode. Music is, I don't even know how to function in my day without music. I am one of those people that has to have music playing at all times. Like if it is too silent, I have to have music on my phone. I cannot sit at a dinner party without music. I love my records are my babies. Like there's so many things that I like, even just previously moving a few months ago, that I was like, okay, I need, like, what are my priorities that I know I have to move myself, that I don't trust anyone else with? And like my records was in my record player was part of that. I love music. I live for music. I love writers, songwriters, singers, musicians, artists. They get me through the good days, the bad days, the fun days, the hard days, all the days. And so any opportunity to honor them and to express my gratitude for the art that they put out and create for the masses of us to enjoy and devour and, you know, receive emotional nutrition for, like any opportunity just to say thank you to an artist for doing that, I mean, I just leap at. So that is what I get to do today with Mandy Lee of Mr. Wives. Funny enough, Mr. Wives put out a record in 2020 called Super Bloom. And I happened to really get into that record in 2021. And it really spoke to me, almost to a point where maybe I named a whole freaking podcast after it. Especially the title track called Super Bloom was very impactful. And so the fact that I get to actually speak with Mandy today, not only about that record, but, you know, her journey as a songwriter, about Mr. Wives as a band and everything that they've been through, and, you know, their Super Bloom experience, you know, as artists in their industry. I mean, just, I am so pumped. What a gift. If you do not know anything about Mr. Wives are nothing but not resilient. In fact, that is the name of their new label, Resilient Little Records, which we're going to also talk about later today. in this episode. And yeah, Mr. Wives has been dealt their share of trials and setbacks, but they've only used those tribulations as fuel and inspiration to write some of their most fiery, honest songs of their career. The first of those fiercely in-your-face tracks is Out of Your Mind, a raging rocker that sees Mandy Lee proclaiming, "If you think I'll lay down and die, you're out of your goddamn mind." Out of Your Mind is out now via their label and Photo Finish Records. Their new record, Nosebleeds, is so freaking good. I also love that title track as well. Mr. Wives is going to be on tour later this year. I've already been looking at tickets because they're going to start their tour off in Nashville, which I am so excited about. So listen to this episode. If you've ever wondered anything about this, the music industry, or if you yourself are an artist or a singer or a songwriter or a musician, this is, you're going to eat this episode up. It is very, very insightful. And if you're just like a lover of music, and if you've never heard Mr. Wives before, go stream all of their stuff and just put it on the car, drive, go for a walk. They're so fantastic. And I'm so excited for you to listen to them for the first time. And if you're a Mr. Wives fan, then let's fucking go. Let's go. Because I'm a Mr. Wives fan, and I am very excited for my conversation with Mandy Lee. It is really funny how technology is just meant to make everything so much easier, and then it still just can be such a freaking grind. But it is so interesting hearing you talk about, like, even how technology's changed in writer's rooms and, you know, music studios. Because that's a completely different ballgame. I mean, are you just constantly, is your whole phone just full of, like, are you a voice memo person? Yeah. Are you, like, a notes? Are you, like, writing lyrics down? Or are you still, like, classic pen and pencil or pen and paper? Yeah,
pen and pencil. I just write down the...
Yeah, pen and pencil. Yeah.
All of the above. Honestly, my phone, I need to get a new one because there's just not... I always get a phone with the most amount of storage and it's still not enough between, like, the voice memos, editing videos, like, all the notes apps of writing the songs. Like, my phone is just always in overload because there's so much stored in it.
Well, because the benefit is that you don't have to miss anything. Yeah. You know, where it's like back in the day, you know, even just in the, like, early aughts and, like, late thousands, it's like you needed still that old school tape recorder. It would be like, oh, there would be like digital ones. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you didn't have one, you were just like, oh, fuck, I better listen. I have to remember this melody. And if it escapes my brain before I get to the session.
Like, that's my biggest fear.
I just keep humming it all day long.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm always that person in public, like, off huddled in a corner trying to voice record every idea all the time because you just never know what that idea can become. So while very helpful, I would say it's also like my arch nemesis, technology and social media and all that stuff, where I have to find a healthy balance between
I'm sure. I mean, especially the relationship you've had with it just in the last like 5 years, which we'll definitely get into. And I'm so excited to talk about Nosebleeds, but I really am interested in just hearing kind of about like how you got into music. Were you always singing as a child? Was this something that found you later on in life? Before even getting into career, how you fell in love with being an artist.
Oh, thanks for asking that. Singing is just something I kind of came out of the womb doing. Like, I always gravitated towards music and all the records my mom would play. And ever since I could remember, I was that kid in the mirror with a hairbrush, like doing a performance for no one or my stuffed animals. And I remember in kindergarten, I auditioned for the talent show at my school. And I sang You Don't Own Me from the First Wives Club, that movie. Do you know that movie?
Oh, yeah. It's also Carly. Wait, no. Is that? No, that's not Carly Simon. That's Debbie. Wait. Mm-hmm. Leslie Gore.
Yes.
Leslie Gore. Whew. Okay. I know I'm drinking another sip of coffee. Embarrassing.
Not embarrassing. There's too much information out there. Yeah. I remember, it's crazy that I was 5 and that movie still affected me and inspired me. And I still was like, I want autonomy over who I am at such a young age. And I auditioned and I had such terrible stage fright. Like, I didn't even sing during my audition. Like, I was terrified and crying. And somehow they let me into the talent show, even though I didn't sing a note for them. Which I was like, who is responsible for this? But somehow in the show, like the lights were on and the curtains opened and I had a boa and my sunglasses to help me think no one was in the room. And I just embodied all the divas that I grew up on. Like Aretha Franklin was such a big inspiration for me. And it's wild. In my real life, I think I'm quite shy and introverted more than people would expect. But something happens on stage where you just get to tap into like a higher power of yourself. And I've been in love with it since I was 5, and then always sang my whole life and started auditioning for Broadway when I was in high school. And I remember finding a vintage winter piano in a thrift store for $300, and I saved up all my money to buy the piano. And that's when I started songwriting. Like I was, something didn't feel right. Like I was doing auditions for musical theater, but there was something missing where I was like, this doesn't feel like what I want to be doing. And it wasn't until I bought that piano where everything really came together and I just took off with songwriting.
Do you still have the piano?
No, sadly, no. It might actually still be in the house that I lived in the basement at that time, which is my, I'd actually have to check. My older siblings, their father owned the house that we were living in at the time. So it could be there, but I haven't been there in I don't know how long.
Yeah, those are two very different trajectories. Yeah. So how old were you when you started songwriting then?
13.
Okay. So you were still young. You were still, I mean, the baby end of the teen years. Did you have any, it also sounds like you didn't come from a family of musicians. Like you, this was something that you kind of took on your own.
Yeah, I don't know how I had the balls to do it. There was no one in my family who was musical or like connected to anything. I was just so determined. Like that was my safety and security through life at a really young age. And I used to book shows when I was like 15 at Arlene's Groceries and all these like clubs in the city where I was way too young. They'd always put X's on my hands and I would like fake these emails where I was the manager booking shows and putting together press packets and all this stuff like long before social media was a thing. This was at the start of MySpace where that made life easier, sending music that way at least. But yeah, I really just connected the dots and slowly all the right people fell into my life where, you know, I am where I am now.
I feel like those are two very important factors. One, it's like the benefit of youth and like not realize, like only in the mindset of like, well, why can't I do that? And as opposed to the older that we get, I think it's easy to hear the world tell you like, oh, well, here's all the reasons why you probably, why that won't work or you shouldn't do that. And it's just like such a yummy, magical time in those young years of like fearlessness, even though you also fear everything. It's like this perfect dichotomy of both of those feelings. But then also what you just said, where the right people fell into your, like the right people found you on your path.
A lot of the wrong people first.
I mean, that definitely happened, especially as a young woman in the industry.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. My internet is still being goofy.
No, it's true. Yeah, a lot of the wrong people can definitely, I experienced that. I started off in music before I ended up acting.
Oh, get out of here. Wow, she can do it all.
So I had like a, I mean, I don't know about that. The pipe is a different life. But I was in the LA kind of like music scene in the mid thousands.
Wow.
And I had like a few really wonderful mm-hmm. people that fell in, that joined me on the path. And then a few that, you know, were just definitely affected like my perception of like what the experience was and the reality of what the experience was. But I think especially as like a young woman in the industry, mm-hmm. it is imperative to be able to kind of what you were saying, like have the balls to be like, I'm going to do mm-hmm. this and I hear my voice and I trust my voice and I'm going to keep going down this path mm-hmm. as opposed to other people kind of like dictating that. Is that something like did you feel that in kind of these like late teen years, early 20s where I think it's like so vital to our like developmental like creative and self-esteem yeah. as young women, like did you feel the pressure from other people kind of telling you who you should be, or did you have a clear idea of who you were?
Oof, that is a loaded question. I'm very proud of the young woman that I was, because I was told all sorts of awful things about how I looked, my weight, how I sang, my songwriting. And if they told me to zig, I would zag. I was so like, oh, you're going to make a remark about what I'm wearing? I'm going to crank the dial and wear something even crazier on this national television performance. And I'm very thankful of how much of a like little rebel I really was. And I think these last few years have been really tough, and I've just been trying to get back to her, because there was such an onslaught of people telling me I wasn't good enough. And after Super Bloom, just a slew of really, really like a big paradigm shift of people I trusted telling me that I didn't have what it takes and I wasn't good. And all this stuff started to happen where I started to listen to those voices and really found myself at such a low. And this new record just helped me inch my way towards who that 15-year-old girl was, who was able to emancipate herself and like pursue this dream and kind of tell everybody to fuck off who didn't have my best interests in mind or tried to make me something I wasn't or tried to take away my power and my voice and vision. So I feel like that's kind of the wild journey, is the older you get, the more you try to get back to who your younger self was.
I definitely resonate with that, especially like my version of that is giving grace to the fact that I was the young girl who, when someone said to zig, I zigged. And when someone said to zag, I zagged, because I just wanted to like be the good girl. I wanted to be the one that like got an A plus. And so like, that's like now me as the adult, like giving grace to the younger version of myself that she was just doing the best that she could. The idea of like getting back in touch with like your younger self, especially like I'm in my mid 30s, and I feel like that's like a very, like I've felt that from a lot of girlfriends lately. It's just having like a whole new understanding and grace given to like this kind of young girl who was just doing the best that she could. It's so wild to me to hear, and to obviously just in preparation from sitting down with you and from articles I'd read about the band even before, but you'd had such like wonderful success, and Super Bloom itself was a success during a really wild time. I mean, you released a record in 2020 on top of like a lot of personal stuff that had been going on, which we can touch on in a moment, but it's crazy that was your experience after all this success, is this kind of like current and wave of just negative, kind of like negative feedback in a way from people who obviously, I don't know where their heads were at the time. But you started very young. I don't want to like skip over a very important chapter. When did Mr. Wives officially form? Were you already performing independently and writing independently, but what was like the inciting incident of like, oh, we're a band
yeah,
now?
Yeah, that happened about 10 years ago. I was working in a restaurant and I served, Etienne was sitting at the bar, who's the drummer and my ex and all the layers. And we just hit it off. And he was playing in a band, Emily Warren and the Betters. And he invited me to a show and I was just like blown away by their band and their show, and just feeling like, oh, I've always wanted this familial bond with people and music. Like, I don't want to do this on my own. Because at the time, I was just playing like very singer-songwriter at the piano, occasionally accompanied with a cellist, like in open mics. And I saw that and just so badly wanted that family unit. And so we started working together, and I just met everybody very serendipitously, like Will, the bassist, I met just from like a jam. This is back in the day where you would just go like jam with a bunch of musicians in a basement or a garage somewhere really sketch that I shouldn't have been as a young girl. But I met him. Yeah, I know.
But it was always so fun.
It was just such a pure time. My God, you just lived and breathed playing music. Like I was busking, I would busk in Washington Square Park and in the subway. And I just like at any point, if I wasn't working my day job as a server, I was trying to play with anyone and everything everywhere all the time. And so I met Will at a jam and we just became like inseparable best friends. He moved into my apartment like I think a couple weeks later after we met, and we just, the three of us became this hub of like recording and playing at any point. We would record all the music in 8's closet in his apartment. And so we finally had all these demos and we're like, okay, we got to book shows. We got to play these songs now. And 8 brought in 2 musicians from previous bands and we played a show at the Canal Room. And this is really wild because our music was starting to get a little bit of noise, like on blogs and stuff. And our manager and the label we're with now and our booking agent all came to that show. And we've been with them. Yeah.
Wow.
So it was one of those, like, the stars have aligned, all the right people in the room together. And yeah, that's, I mean, we've been with Jared all 10 years and he's a part of our family and band. So it's very thankful that we played that show. That club is no longer there. It's sadly closed, but hold a lot of amazing memories there.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of awesome what ifs and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Do you guys have a good, like, band name story? Like, how you guys came up with the band name?
Yeah, well, Will tried to name the band the 24-Hour Party People, which didn't have... didn't quite roll off the tongue.
It didn't stick? What?
We actually did play one show under the 24-Hour Party People.
No,
we did, yes.
Not.
At the Recoup Lounge, which I don't even think was a venue. Will also booked this show, and he booked it through Craigslist, and it was not a venue. Like, ATN played, yeah,
as
of course.
One does.
Yeah, it was the Wild Wild West back then. So yeah, that didn't stick. And I was like, okay, we're a band. It's no longer just like solo Mandy. We've got to find a name. And my uncle was Mormon. So I knew the term sister wives. And I thought it was a funny play on the word of, you know, the gender role change of me being the mister and they're all my wives. or ex-wives.
I love
yeah.
It.
It's But it was just a playful spin off of a word. No offense. I feel like now when we go to like Utah, sometimes I get in trouble with some Mormons. So I'm sorry.
I think it's fine. I think they have other things to worry about. It's okay.
Thank you.
I love stories about bands, how they come up with their name. And I also love like my favorite is like the That Thing You Do moment when they first hear song on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, when did you hear it?
First time we heard our song on the radio was Reflections. And we were in Kansas City. And I remember our van broke down. We had absolutely not a penny to our names. We were in the shittiest van that more times than not got towed to the venue than it did us driving it. Yeah.
Stop.
And we were just in this like streak of very bad luck, like got sick. Our van broke down. Like we were just like losing money. Things were like we were playing to empty rooms. It was just definitely like, OK, we're in the trenches. And we got into our rental van and turned on the radio And it was the first time they were spinning reflections. And I remember the DJ was so nice and said all the nicest things. And it just was like the biggest, like, morale boost that we needed so badly, where it was like, okay, this is really hard, but also look at this other side of things where things are going well for us and we got to keep going and not get discouraged by how many curveballs are being thrown our way every second.
It's like those little, like, beacon, like light beacons being like, nope, keep going this way.
You got to pay close attention because there's so many of those. And sometimes it's easy to focus on all the negative. And I'm so bad at this. Do you listen to Mel Robbins?
You're the second person to tell me this. No, but I literally got her on my phone. I know I'm on it. I'm going to get on it. You're the second person in like a week to tell me this. So this is a little lightning bug. I'm going to chase the lightning bug and go listen to some
Mel Robbins.
Bug,
she always says, find the hearts. Look for the hearts. You can reprogram your brain. Like you'll see hearts throughout your day to remember all the good that there is, and that it can like change your brain chemistry and patterns of how we often look for the negative, but the good is there.
What is the, I mean, you obviously continue to grow success as a band, which it's a very exciting time when everything just start, when once the wheels start turning and like the things start happening, it just, I feel like, unless it was different for you guys, but everything I've usually heard or seen or experienced was just like, once it happens very quickly, almost like it like takes forever to get there. And then like, you find yourself very quickly like, wow, this all, and here we are, and now we're on tour, and now we have a second record to make, and now there's expectations.
It doesn't feel like it happened quickly, if I'm being honest. It feels like it's been, I've been doing this forever, and I feel like it has such like peaks and valleys of like, oh, things are going well, and then that's it, and then you're kind of starting over again. Like we had that moment of going on tour and feeling like lightning in a bottle, oh my gosh, everything's taking off, and then we were dropped, and then we, you know what I mean? So it just, our career has very much been this pattern than like a straight onwards and upwards. I feel like we've faced a lot of setbacks every time things start to go really well. The industry says psych.
Which I think part of it is just, if you're gonna have, if you're in an industry for 10 years, like you're gonna feel those waves, but then also the fact that like this is a different music industry, and like this is, which is a whole other conversation that I think is like, it is insane. It's really sad that like we as a society consume so much music and so much art, we rely on it, you know, like that's the first thing anyone says is, if you've had a good day, you want to put on good music that makes you happy. If you've gone through a breakup and you're really sad, like listen to something that just like hugs your heart or makes you cry. And yet none of that is being compensated for in the way that it used to be. Like it's really hard for musicians and for bands to be able to make a living in the way that they used to back in like the radio days, or even just like truly label supported days. Because now, I mean, I got like a tiny little taste of it, and I wasn't even like, I didn't even pursue a full career in music, but the tiny taste of that I got of it in the mid thousands was like how much legwork was expected of me that used to be done by a label or covered financially by a label or someone who was professionally trained at that job of like PR and marketing and things like that. And now it is just, it's all on the artist. It's insane. And then also on top of like the streaming revenue, which is like not, which is ridiculous. And
for the artist. Anything. Other people on the other side are making a shit ton. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, this is why we're also striking as like artists on television and film, because it's insane when you see the numbers.
I'm sorry. We're in this together. It's been funny talking to musician friends who are like, how do we go on strike? How do we do that too?
I know. I mean, there's got to be a shift in a way. But just to, so I think those are two factors that obviously go into kind of feeling some of those waves. But I fucking loved Super Bloom. I still love Super Bloom so much as a record. I mean, obviously, this is a Super Bloom podcast. It was a period of time in my life where, wild enough, I know that you wrote that record from a place after, you know, a marriage ending, a very long, which was a very long relationship with your bandmate. And I, when I heard that song and your record, it was like the start of my separation and divorce process. It was like a whole new kind of chapter for me as well. And it really impacted me. I mean, going back to, you know, music and art just like can like rescue our souls in like the darkest times. But it is, I just was like so happy to find this record. And it's so wild to me that you made this record. And I think so many, I mean, all the reviews I saw of it were amazing, but literally you put it out. It was like in 2020, this was, you just gone through a divorce, but also you and your bandmate are like making it work and like making it happen, which is beautiful. And then you get dropped from a label and everything, like, it's just like getting, having to start all over in a certain way. I mean, how with the whole record that's about breaking through to the other side of the hard times.
Oh yeah, just to be like, oh, we're just getting started, rinse, repeat, recycle. Well, thank you for sharing. Sorry, service so bad. I need new Wi-Fi.
No. Go for it. No, it's the delay.
No, I just wanted to say thank you for carrying the music close. And I'm sorry that's what you've gone through, but I'm happy that the music could be of service where we feel less alone in these very isolating experiences. So to me, as much as it was, you know, technically we got dropped, a bandmate quits, all this stuff happens, the biggest success is when the music has any sort of positive impact on someone's life. So that's the real victory. I'm like, fuck all the stuff in the industry. I'm like, if this music brings me to people and it can make them feel less alone or comforted and be an outlet and help find their strength, I mean, that's really why I do this. So all the stuff we're talking about, it's like, yeah, that shit is, makes it hard. But hearing things like that just makes me very inspired to keep going because I think it's so needed for community.
Yeah. I'm interested in how it was also needed for you personally. I mean, it's a very personal record. It's also from what I read in interviews, it was the first time you'd kind of branched out and started doing session writing a little bit more because you were obviously wanting to write about and just like naturally writing about your experience of a marriage ending and a breakup and the ending of something very significant in your life while also being in a band with that person who you just ended a relationship with. How was it like being like, hey guys, I got this song. And you're also like, I co-parent with, you know, my ex-husband. Like we are in it for the long run of like, you know, and when you have a band, that's your own little, like that is your baby. You know what I mean? You are co-parenting. I mean, and your guts are on the floor still though. And a lot of people don't like, did it help? What was the experience like? I don't want to put words in your mouth of what that would be like as far as like healing and process of emotions.
Yeah, it was definitely a roller coaster, but I have to say ATN was so gracious in always being like, take all the space to write what you feel and don't censor yourself. Like he was very supportive of me staying true to what I was writing about, even though it was all about us. And I was also mindful of, I still love and care about this person as hard as this is. And as much as I'm in so much pain, like I don't want to villainize ATN. And I think that was a comment made to me by the label, was like, I didn't sell my story enough. And I was like, first of all, I'm not selling, like exploiting my personal experience, but I was very honest about what happened, but I didn't do it in a way where it was like clickbait of the classic breakups, I think, that we're used to seeing in these kinds of settings. And that was so perturbed to me that it was like, oh, I'm being really honest and vulnerable. And this is really hard for me to keep ripping the Band-Aid off of something while in real time trying to heal. But because it wasn't like, fuck him and you did this and you did like that, that wasn't me selling my story on and making TikToks about it. Like that's what it was reduced to. Even though we like delivered a 19 song record that was so vulnerable and honest and then made this live stream performance where it was the entire album front to end with poetry and visuals and all the stuff where it really took you into what the experience was. And that still wasn't enough.
Which is insane, which I actually listened to on the plane here because I just was like, oh, this will be fun, like going into the interview.
Thank
I'll just you. Hit some Mr. Lips. And I was like, oh, I am a sucker for a live record.
Yeah.
Like, I think everyone needs to record a live version of every single one of their albums. Like, it's my favorite type of like actual vinyl record to collect. I love a live performance record. Poetry that you wrote in between all the songs is just fantastic, and I forget which one it led into, but it just stuck with me. It was like talking about like the noticing that like your partner is like grinding their teeth and like whittling them down because you're just clenching your jaw, and it was just such a wonderful visual to go along with the lyrics and the music. But also, I think what is really impressive too is it's so easy. It's so easy. I think society loves to, like, especially in a breakup, loves to point fingers and like you have to be this angry. They want to turn everyone into an angry woman and be like, ooh, as opposed to a woman which is really just putting all the attention on the man, as opposed to centering yourself in your own story. And I think that, and it's more challenging to do that, but God, is it so much more fulfilling, and you learn so much more on the other side of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. I want to, like, record that and listen to that always. Yeah, because there's these classic archetypes of, like, oh, angry woman, bitter, mad against man. Like, that's what people... I mean, there's also that... There's space for that because that's true as well. But that just wasn't my experience. And I was like, I'm not going to twist where I'm at to benefit, like, the success of what you can pitch to... you know, writers and how we're going to frame this. Like, that's just so manipulative and gross. And yeah, ATN and I are still best friends. And I feel like such a victory for this record was, oh my God, look at how much we grew. I couldn't write the last one with you, but now we worked on this record, mostly the two of us. And I just think that's so amazing to see the span of the last 5 years and how much growth has happened for the both of us individually, but also together as friends. And we're still, you know, partners to a degree because of the band. That's its own version of a marriage. So I feel like that's I couldn't ask for anything better.
And you have to, like, spend a lot of time together. You're sleeping in a bus together. You know all of your habits. You know how everyone takes their coffee. You have to talk about money and time management and all. You can literally be like, you can't leave your socks in that part of the bus. That's not how this works. You can still argue
Said
about
that
socks.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The growth, I think, is also, I don't know about you, but I feel like at this point in life, like, I can't physically hold on to resentment anymore. Like, it will make me ill. Like, it just drains me. It weighs me. I feel it in my whole body if I just hold on to it. Like, any sort of, like, anger or wanting to just make things more difficult. And it's not necessarily just like letting everything go, but it's just like making friends with the fact that there are some things that happen in life that you can't change, and that's just how they happened.
Woo-hoo, yes.
And we're all
and letting go of that control. This record was really liberating for me because I think all the emotions you're talking about, the anger, and especially being a woman and how much we're labeled this, that, and the other, if you're anything but the perfect amount of polite and smiling and laughing at all the bad jokes and whatnot, it was very liberating to have that anger and make space for it and be like, this isn't bad. This is my organic reaction to what's going on, and I'm going to let it come to the surface versus suppressing it. And when I was able to let it surface and exist, I was able to let it go. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes when we're trying to fight those emotions because we don't want them, that can make them fester and build up even more. But I found that it created less resistance in my body when I just worked through the feelings. Like, I felt the feelings. I was comfortable in the uncomfortable. I wasn't trying to, like, race towards the silver lining. Oh, I'm better now and everything's okay. Like, I really wasn't okay at the start of this record. And I feel like the more we give ourselves permission to feel the full spectrum, the less bad we feel about the emotions that we're having. If that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I mean, I know just from, again, like, reading interviews of yours, like, the kind of, if you could kind of share with anyone, with the listeners right now, just like the conceptualization of Nosebleed and like the Nosebleed section, Nosebleeds just as a record, because you had been through a lot at this point. I mean, to be at that point in your career and to be dropped by a label during a global pandemic after like a fucking amazing release is just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. And it doesn't stop there. It just, the punches kept happening. And it was less about, like, at the end of the day, I understand this is still a business and like getting dropped is one thing. But I think it was the way that it happened was just so like a personal attack on me. And then our bandmate left and all of it just happened in a really ugly way all at once where it just felt like.
Are you able to talk about how it happened?
What happened?
How you, like, how it all happened? Like the, like how you, the basically how you got dropped, like what made it.
Yeah.
Or, and if you, and if you're not able, trust me, we can just edit this part out.
Thank you.
I
think I never want to like call anyone out on what happened. You know what I mean? Like I, while shit was definitely not cool and very mean, nasty things were said, I don't want to like, I don't know, expose people for what they did. You know what I mean? Especially like with my bandmate too, like that was, that's been a really painful thing of not having a relationship with that person. I just don't want to like bring any negativity into their world despite what happened with us. But what I can say is it all happened in the span of like a week. And and it was also while I was going through personal stuff with my own relationship and like heard a recording of a friend saying something terrible about the live dream we did. Just like so many things of just like, wait, I thought I trusted all these people who are on my team and on my side. And it turns out I can't. And that to me just, you know, it's such a paradigm shift when you think you have this whole family unit and then it crumbles and people aren't who you thought they were. Maybe you were romanticizing who they were. And that's, I take full blame of doing that big time, of maybe wishing things were different. So I then in turn put that on other people. But yeah, this record was a response to all of those punches and let me lean into the messy middle. I think a coping mechanism for me a lot of the time is always finding the silver lining and brushing it off of, oh, it's not that bad, or oh, it will get better. And that stuff is really important, but it just felt prominent for me to like stand in my truth and feel empowered by a really weak moment in my life rather than having to turn to, I think the last record was so whimsical and the flowers and the Technicolor. And I just was like, that didn't feel like how I was. And I didn't want to force that narrative onto my experience. And the beauty is like both can exist. Like Super Bloom is so honest and so true, and Nosebleeds is the same. And I think that's incredible where I was able to see how multifaceted I am, and it's not one dimension, and I don't have to stay stuck in a narrative that I feel like is expected of me. So it just got to like exercise muscles I've never used before.
It's I have definitely had a lot of my friends and coworkers used to say that I had like a glitter gun, where like they, like someone would say something like, oh, this sucks, this is negative, and I'd be like, no, it's not, let me tell you how wonderful it is.
I have that gun. That's the only gun I have, is the glitter gun. Yeah.
And they'd be like, can you just shut up? Like, maybe we get to just be angry and annoyed. And I'd be like, no, we have to rise above. But there is a fault to living in that space, too. And I would do the same thing. I'd kind of be like, no, I can let go of this. Oh, those aren't red flags. They're just maroon. Like, they're just decorative. They're meditation flags. Like,
oh, we are the same. You know, just, we are the same. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely, in the last like couple of years, I've like really made peace too, of just like, you know, with just accepting when things are uncomfortable or when I'm upset or when, you know what, I am a very nice, kind person. I know that about myself now, but I don't have to be polite if I'm not met with someone being polite to me. You know, like, and that's what, yeah, I feel like just listening to Nosebleeds, like that's the kind of, it's like, I'm here and I don't have to be polite.
I'm
today,
taking up all the space. Yeah, you're allowed to take up space, especially as women or anything other than the male existence is like you're told to shrink. And I just had to absolutely take up all the space. And that's why this record is so like bombastic and in your face and loud. I mean, there's a part of Out of Your Mind where I'm just fully screaming and not even singing. That was so cathartic to let that out. In the music videos, I've been like, oh yeah, we're breaking shit. Oh yes. All of this is going to, I'm exercising my demons here and not using the glitter gun that I do love. And I think that's a valuable tool to help get through a whole lot. But yeah, you've got to have a balance of both, I think, of like letting yourself fully exist while, yes, still trying to see the bright side of things, but not doing a disservice to what you've gone through by trying to just be like, look, everything's perfect, especially in this day and age with like social media and how much we only show like the highlights. So I think we've kind of feel pressured to make our life seem way more picture perfect than it is. And just that's not really possible or sustainable.
Yeah, it's not sustainable at all. And at all. And on either side, like there's some people who just want to like say all the like all the guts on the floor at all times. And then others who just want to be like, no, everything's perfectly clean. And Marie Kondo, like it's perfect.
She even said, I can't do this anymore. She even was like, fuck this. I'm not rolling up my clothes. I was like, okay, if Marie Kondo is saying I can't do this anymore, that makes me feel a lot better about myself.
Yeah, she stopped finding joy. She found too much joy.
Yeah.
Who knows, all the
and we
things.
Should be able to change. We should be able to be like, oh, yeah, I felt that way and I don't feel that way today. And that's okay. And we shouldn't feel locked into, I don't know, songs are funny because they are like written in stone where it's like, but you've said this, so now you can't feel this way. But it's a snapshot of what I'm experiencing now. And I leave a lot of nuance and openness for that to change because that's just part of the course for being human.
Well, I'm also very excited about your, if maybe help explain a little bit, it's like a subsidiary label within the label as well that you guys have created. Could you talk a little bit about that? And I know that there's goals in the future of being able to, you know, support other artists who are carving their own paths and their own ways within their careers.
That is such a dream of mine, to just like help other artists and help them find their voice and not do the classic label thing of change. It's so funny. Labels sign you for who you are and then want to change you immediately. And I think building a label, like you see Phoebe Bridgers and what she has, where it's like, oh, I'm just going to elevate all the amazing things about you and help mentor that versus trying to tell you to be something you aren't. But basically when we were dropped, I think that was the fourth major label that we had been on. And I just couldn't fathom signing another record deal in that same format and landscape. And what is that quote? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Yeah. Like that's where I was, where I was like, oh no, everything, we got dropped again. Okay, time to sign to a new deal. And I knew we had to be the variable that changed and to take back our power. We started our own label, Resilient Little Records, and we put out music independently. Photo Finish approached us about doing a deal where it's our joint labels together, where we own our masters and we license it to Photo Finish. So it's really like a split 50-50 collaborative effort where we still have ownership of our stuff and we still have control of the creative vision. And they have absolutely just elevated what we wanted to do every step of the way. And I would not be able to make that deal with probably anybody else, but we started off with Photo Finish at the start of our career with Reflections. And they joined with Republic. And then Republic got rid of Photo Finish, but kept us. So we like never wanted to part ways. If it was up to us, we would have stayed with Photo Finish the whole, probably our whole career. We would have never left. But it happened that they were no longer a part of Republic. So we no longer got to be with them. So when they approached us about doing this deal together, it just felt like such a homecoming too. Oh, these were probably the only team of people that ever really believed in us. It's like such a, it's a small team, small but mighty. Like it's, and they all work their asses off and they're all so nice. They're all friends. Like I stayed friends with them in the 10 years, even though we weren't together. Like they came to our wedding there. We hang out all the time. When I used to live in New York, they are a part of our family. So it was really amazing to do this deal that was liberating of us for the first time owning our masters, licensing them, but also with people that we really believe in. And we've felt that like every step of this record has just been them trying to make it happen. Whatever ideas, like the music too, they've been so supportive of music. Labels can be awful where they're like, you don't have the single, you don't have the hits, you need to do this. They just gave us all the freedom.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Which is so interesting to hear, like, an artist say,
yeah,
that you, like, a label that you believe,
right,
in, when it's like, it should be the other, mm-hmm, way around. But also, what a beautiful thing this day and age, knowing, like, the state of the music business, that you are with a team of people that believe in you,
yeah,
guys.
And I talk to my peers, and I feel like everybody's so frustrated with their labels, and rightfully so. And I just feel really thankful for the choice we made of knowing, like, okay, this is going to be, you know, you don't get the big flashy budgets of, like, the major labels, but I'd much rather have, like, not less resources, but with a team that's going to work hard. Like, that to me is more powerful than the labels that throw all the money at you and then they don't do anything, you know? So they've just been so instrumental. And also, they really care about, like, your mental well-being. Like, I've had moments of, like, hey, this TikTok thing, it's really not working, and I feel drained and burnt out. And they've given me all the space to be like, yeah, take your time. Also, here are ideas. If you want help, we'll hire someone to help you. Like, they've been so loving and respecting, like, my own mental peace through this, because a lot of labels are not that way. They're like, if your song doesn't blow up on TikTok, you're done. Like, that's literally what I've been told. My friends have been told. Yeah. So just thankful that they practice what they preach, you know?
Yep. And that's the barometer,
mm-hmm,
these,
yeah,
days is like a couple second, 10, 30 second clip on TikTok. It's insane. A trending
sound.
It's so sad. It's crazy.
It's so sad. Like, I've heard horror stories of people who are like, oh, if this, you know, you tease a song in the studio, and if that doesn't have virality, no, it's not a single. On to the next. Like, you're just not giving music a chance. And it's so, I don't think this is going to last long. I think this is like flash in the pan. I really hope so, because it's just so cruel to music and to artists, and doesn't let anybody spread their wings and have a trajectory where there's like longevity. You know what I mean? It's just so instant. Mm-hmm. And if it's not hot this second, you're done. And that's just like, that doesn't work for anything. It's just like, it's not a one size fits all, you know?
Yes, yes. And also, like, the development, it can be, is so necessary. Like, that is part of the process. And it's just crazy that that's just been kind of taken away from artists in so many different capacities, that it's like this idea of, like, success is labeled as, like, immediate or you're done and it's over. And that's not how it should be at all. Is there a specific, I'm so excited for you guys to be going on tour this fall, actually opening up in Nashville, I think, which I'm very excited about.
Please, if you're home, we'd love for you to join.
I mean, I've already looked at tickets at Brooklyn Bowl.
You don't get, I will put you on the guest list.
Very excited.
Please.
Well, thank you. Thank you. But you're going to be touring this fall, and you're headlining with
Bishop Briggs.
Thank you, Bishop Briggs.
She's amazing.
I was like looking on my annoying phone notes. She is amazing. Her voice is insane. Yeah. It's so good. It's going to be a great tour.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to have had the time to sit down with you today, and truly congratulations on Nosebleeds and just like all your records. Anyone who's listening right now, just go and have a Mr. Wives Day, and it's going to be fantastic. Just stream it like a whole day on Spotify, and it's just such a joy to go through all your records and your whole catalog. And also congratulations for owning your shit, because that is a whole other accomplishment. And for anyone that doesn't really know the music business, you obviously know about Taylor Swift, and she's making Taylor's version, and I'm sure that's going to be like all the legal documentation is going to be
she
different
has changed
from now
it
on.
Yes, where now there's like clause where you can't re-record your own music. She has, oh my God, a hero. Like, what a trailblazer what she's done.
It's amazing, but also like now,
yeah, now everyone's
gonna also,
oh yeah,
like,
for sure. Yes. Double-edged sword.
Yes, so that is congratulations.
Thank you.
On owning your shit. It's an important thing we should all remember and know to do if we can in the world. But I'm so excited for your tour. I'm so excited to keep listening to your record this summer. And as we kind of calm down on this conversation, I like to ask my guests just like five little cool down questions, if you're okay with that.
I need to cool down. It's very hot here.
It's just kind of yes, it is very hot here. It's just the first thing that pops into your mind. But just to start off, something that you like.
Something that I like, cooking.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. What do you like to cook?
Oh man, everything. I'm vegan. I've been vegan for 15 years. So it's always really fun to see a recipe and figure out how to veganize it. Currently, with all this hot weather, I feel like anything that's really fresh, like going to the farmer's market and getting all fresh ingredients and making fresh pasta and all of that has been in rotation while at home. But yeah, that helps me cool down for sure.
That's good. All right. Something that you know.
Something that I know. I don't know. The more I live, the less I know.
Luckily, I think it's supposed to be. My dad always loves to say, he's like, honey, if you ain't growing, you're dying. And I'm like, all right, well, thanks, Dad.
Something I know. I guess my knowing. That's a good one. I feel like lately I've really been listening to my gut on things. And just honoring that and letting that be my compass forward. So I feel like I know my knowing. That's kind of all I do know. Everything else is out of my control.
That's a good one. Something that you hate.
Something that I hate. Oh, this is really niche. The microfiber towels. Do you know those? That on my skin. Yes. I hate that.
It ekes you out.
I am a hypersensitive little person. And man, I don't know what it is about those fucking towels that send me into a spiral. Like, I can't clean my windows because of those towels.
It's good to know. It's an important thing to know about yourself.
Yeah.
Yes. Very, very good. What is something that you love that is not family, friends, any like partner or person in your life, but something that you love for yourself?
Something that I love. Probably my cats.
How many do you have?
Two, but I wish I had 100. If I wasn't doing music, I think I would have like a farm sanctuary and just rescue animals. That's like...
Do they go on tour with you?
I wish. Our bus is so packed with too many humans. If we toured in a little bit more of a like comfortable way, I would absolutely bring them. They're my babies. I love them so much.
And then last but not least, what's a quirky little fact about you?
A quirky little fact. I don't know. Do you have a quirky little fact about yourself?
Yeah? Yes.
What do you have?
Let's see. What do I usually say? Oh, my usual go-tos are that I was at one point, even though I never performed and never went over there, I was a pop star in Japan.
Oh my God. That's not quirky. And that's so cool. Like,
it's a very quirky little dinner party icebreaker.
Wow. Wait, what was your, it was under your name? As is?
Just under my name. Yeah, I never released anything in the States. Nothing ever came out. And I got shelved and dropped.
Oh, my God. But
and then one day I got a call being like, hey, they're going to toss out your record in Japan. And can you do a few phoners? So I did like phoners years later and then never heard anything. And then one day I got a box in the mail of just like all these magazines and like little promo materials.
Oh my God.
It was the weirdest thing.
Wait, that's like a movie.
So I was never there.
Damn, you gotta go to Japan. You gotta
never,
go tour
never
there,
did
girl.
Anything. Yeah.
That's pretty baller that you were like a mega pop star without even going over there. Wow, that's amazing.
I can do the clover with my tongue. I can tie cherry strings. It, like the cherry things.
Oh, I can do that. Does that qualify as quirky? Yes, I can tie a cherry stem.
That's very quirky. Yes.
Why was that such a thing? Yes. And that was like, if you're a good kisser, you can tie this. And I had never kissed anybody in my life. And I was like, I don't care about that. I'm going to learn how to tie this fucking stem with my tongue.
I know. I'm like, there's got to be like some movie that we all watched or like an episode of like Felicity or like something back in the day where it was like it because that's what I thought. I remember distinctly being like, this is important. And I would order Shirley Temples all the time for extra cherries. And then when I heard that fact, I was like, well, now I got to learn to tie them and no one will know what I'm doing because I'm just drinking my Shirley Temples.
Isn't that fascinating? Like we didn't have social media and there was trends and things we all did and gravitated towards. And I'm like, who was the whistleblower on that? Like, how did we all know how to do these things that were very strange?
I know. It's like that and Miss Mary Mac, all like all those hand clap games.
Oh, that's all a good quirky fact. I used to be on a step team. I think people probably wouldn't expect me to be on a step team.
Really?
Yeah. You mentioned clap games. And I was like, oh, yeah, that was a big part of my life growing up. Yeah. Stepping.
That's awesome. Do you ever incorporate it into your live shows?
A long time ago, I tried to get the guys to do it where we like started a step routine and then the rhythm broke out in different sections and then that would start the rhythm of the song. But yeah, didn't last long.
They couldn't get their steps in.
Yeah, exactly. But that would be fun to get back to. I'm like, do people, I'm going to join a step team. That's going to be my hobby while I'm home.
I mean, I'm sure there is one. Like now there's a team for everything. True. Like kickball. Yes. I mean, all the things. There's definitely a team or somewhere to go. But what is more important is that everyone can go see you guys touring this fall. Check out Mr. Wives.
Yeah.
Mandy, thank you so much
hanging
out with me. It is so lovely to meet you. I'm such a fan.
Thank you so much. Like you asked such beautiful, insightful questions, and this was really lovely.
A Super Bloom podcast is hosted by me, Candace King, produced by Melissa DeMonts and Diamond Imprint Productions, edited by Diane Kang, post-production sound by Coco Lawrence, and advertising partnership with Acast.